Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you to Winning with the Word. Today we will be discussing a topic we don't hear about very much, despite the fact that it is a topic of utmost importance to our growth as Christians. We're going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? When the Bible refers to the fear of the Lord, it means a holy reverence and respect for Almighty God. It is not a dread of God that causes us to be in terror of Him. The fear of the Lord is instead an attitude of utmost respect for God, mingled with love for Him and hope in Him. Why is it so important for us to fear the Lord, to respect Him, to reverence Him, and to honor Him? The answer to that question is found in the Holy Bible, God's Instruction Manual for Humanity. Let's take a look at what it says. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalm 111, verse 10, we read the same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we see from these scripture verses that in order for us to have wisdom and knowledge, we first must reverence and respect the Lord. Well, how do we reverence and respect the Lord? First of all, we respect and reverence Him by putting Him first in our lives. By doing so, we are obeying the first of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. This commandment says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." Most of us, when we read this commandment, think, well, I don't worship other gods. I worship the one and only true God. But think again. Are you putting other things before God? Do you give more attention to your job, your business, or your family than to the things of God? Do you plan your schedule around God or around yourself? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you are guilty of breaking the first commandment. Sometimes we don't realize that the things that seem like little things in our lives are really the big things. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible tells us that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You may be wondering how, in practical terms, can you put God first when you have so much to do? To answer that question, I'd like to tell you a story. A woman was once giving a seminar on time management. Realizing that visual aids would make her presentation more powerful, she brought with her a very large glass jar, some large rocks, some pebbles, some sand, and a jug of water. As she faced the group of students before her, she explained to them that the large rocks represented the most important things in life, things like God, family, friends, health and exercise, etc. "Now," she said, "I'm going to place the large rocks into the jar first," at which point she did. "Next," she said, "I'm going to add the pebbles." And so she dropped the pebbles into the jar until they completely surrounded the large rocks. At this point, the jar looked full. "Can I add anything more to the jar?" she asked the class. One student replied, "Yes, you can add the sand." And so the instructor added the sand. Now the jar really looked full. Again, the instructor asked, "Can I add anything more to the jar?" Another student replied, "Yes, you can add the water." And so the instructor added the water to the jar. Now the jar looked absolutely full. Then the instructor looked at the class and asked, "Can anyone tell me the point of my demonstration?" One student called out, "Yes, you wanted to show us how many activities we could fit into one day." The instructor smiled. "That's a good guess," she said, "but that's not what I was trying to show you." The class looked puzzled, waiting for the instructor to explain her motive in filling the jar. "What I was trying to show you," the instructor explained, "was that unless you put the large rocks into the jar first, you will not be able to fit them in later. In other words, unless you do the most important things first, they will not get done, because the less important things will take up all of your time." Perhaps many of you have experienced this truth. You've had the best of intentions to pray, read your Bible, or exercise, but you allowed other less important but more urgent things crowd your day. Instead of making time for the important things of life, you wasted time on the unimportant things of life. You allowed the urgent to crowd out the important. Years ago, when I had small children, I found myself, on one particular day, frazzled to the point of frustration. In desperation, I cried out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I just don't have enough time to do everything." In that still, small voice in which our wonderful God speaks, He said to me, much to my surprise, "Marianne, you always have enough time to do what I have called you to do." His reply caused me to stop short in my tracks. It told me one of three things. One, I was very disorganized. Two, I was not doing something I should be doing. Or three, I was doing something I should not be doing. Since I am an organized person, I realized that it had to be one of the other two options. First, I looked at what I was not doing, but should be doing. I found the answer to this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 of the Living Bible, which says, "Reverence for God adds hours to each day." I thought to myself, that's very interesting. Perhaps the reason I don't have enough time to get everything done is because I am not reverencing God as I should. While I did spend time with God, I did not always put Him at the top of the list. Sometimes I didn't get to Him till late in the day, and occasionally, I'm grieved to admit, I didn't get to Him at all. Yet, though I failed God, He never failed me. I repented of my sin, asked Him to forgive me and to cleanse me, and I turned a new leaf. The very next day, after I read that verse in Proverbs, I began putting God first in my life. I got up at 5:30 in the morning, read my Bible, prayed, and had an absolutely precious time of fellowship with our Lord. Amazingly, that day I finished everything I had to do by 3:30 in the afternoon. Once again, God's word had proven true. When we reverence Him by putting Him first, He does indeed add hours to our day. Another thing the Lord showed me was that some of the activities in which I was involved, while they were good activities, were not activities in which He wanted me to be involved. He had called other people to fill those positions, and I needed to let them go. And so I did. Restructuring my life involved a reevaluation of my priorities. When we fear the Lord, we will order our priorities around Him. He will be the focal point of our day, and He will plan our schedules according to His will, and we will plan our schedules around Him. For instance, when we plan our day, we will put time with God at the top of the list. This time will include prayer, Bible study, and on some days, church attendance. Not only will we put God first in our schedule, but we will commune with Him throughout the day. This is called practicing the presence of God. It means having a running conversation with God all day long. And remember, a conversation is a two-way relationship. Sometimes we talk, sometimes we listen. And I think we need to do more listening than talking. That's why God gave us two ears but only one mouth. We are to do twice as much listening as we do talking. As we listen to God, He will direct us regarding all the decisions we face. He will lead us into His perfect plan for our life. A second important way in which we fear the Lord is by making His word the final authority in our lives. This means that we believe God's word, His holy Bible, more than we believe anything else. For instance, if we don't have enough money to pay the rent, we choose to place our faith in what God has said rather than in what our checkbook says. God has said that He will supply all our need. So we choose to believe that when God says He will supply all our need, He means exactly that. He will supply all our need. This doesn't mean that we deny our shortage of funds. It simply means that despite our shortage of funds, we trust God to take care of us by providing the rent money. We fear the Lord when we choose to believe His word despite circumstances that scream to the contrary. For example, when we are faced with sickness, we choose to believe God's word that says we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. This doesn't mean that we deny the presence of sickness in our bodies or that we don't go to a doctor. It does mean that we recognize that sickness has no legal right to remain in the body of a born-again believer and that as we resist it in faith with the word of God, sickness eventually has to leave. A third way we fear the Lord is by obeying His commandments, both written and spoken. In order to obey God's written commandments, we have to know what they are. We learn what they are by studying the Bible, because that's where God's commandments are written. In order to obey God's spoken commandments, we have to learn how to hear His voice. God often speaks to us individually regarding His will for our lives. Sometimes He will tell us to do a certain thing or to speak to a certain person. When God tells us to do something, we must obey Him. But in order to obey Him, we have to be able to recognize His voice. And the way we recognize His voice is by spending time with Him through reading the Bible, through prayer, and through sitting quietly in His presence. The more you spend time with a person, the more you get to know that person. The same is true of God. So if you want to be wise, and if you want to have knowledge of spiritual things, learn to fear the Lord. Then you will experience the truth expressed in Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, I encourage you to get to know Him now. He is eager to meet you. All you have to do is invite Him into your life. Just repeat this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to You just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of Your mercy and grace. I believe that You are the Son of God, that You died for me, and that You rose again on the third day. I invite You now to come into my life. I receive You as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that You created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christian. I invite you to write to me at drmarianne@mariannediorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help get you started in your Christian walk. In addition, I invite you to visit my website at mariannediorio.com. There you will find resources to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Until next time, this is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.